donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Americans have lost faith in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, an institution they once regarded as the world's greatest law enforcement agency. I spent 33 years in the FBI and have continued to be closely engaged with the Bureau since my retirement. I am deeply troubled by this loss of faith, not only because of the challenge and danger it presents to our nation, but personally, it breaks my heart. Specific lapses will be looked into by this panel, but the big issue is, why did they happen? What changed? And what should be done? Culture is where it starts. This widespread deleterious behavior of the past several years describes a culture, not just the work of a few bad apples. Robert Mueller, when he was the FBI director, set out deliberately to change the culture of the FBI from a law enforcement agency to an intelligence-driven agency. That had bad and unintended consequences. And the difference is this. In law enforcement, you spend every day, consciously or unconsciously, waiting for that day to come when you're going to raise your right hand before a judge or before a jury and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's quite different than an intelligence agency that operates through deceit and deception, and their end product is an estimate. Some would call it a best guess. Guesses aren't allowed in the courtroom. Past reforms, like the Church and Pike Committee, were necessary. This present subcommittee is a step in the right direction. Hopefully, its work will be bipartisan because the abuses of an intelligence-driven FBI threaten the liberty of those on the left as well as those on the right. In 1978, after the Church Committee revelations, reforms were undertaken. The FBI and the DOJ enacted a series of attorney general guidelines for conducting investigations. The Congress gave us the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Now, however, the use of FISA against U.S. citizens, as seen in the Carter Page case, has presented a threat to American civil liberties. FISA suspends the Constitution. For its first decades, the Foreign Intelligence Act was used, as its name implies, to surveil foreign agents resident in this country. FISA needs to be returned to that original purpose. That is something that the Congress can fix. That the FBI collided with Twitter to suppress free speech is shocking. What is even more surprising is the FBI's explanation or denial that they did that. Over the past few years, when shenanigans were discovered in the Bureau, by the Bureau, the miscreants were shown the door. Director Wray and other FBI leaders, their theme is the bad apples are no longer with us. With the Twitter revelations, there is not even that usual half apology, but a bold-faced denial that nothing is wrong. The First Amendment guarantees free speech. The FBI, by urging Twitter to censor speech, which it could not itself do, was engaging in a perversion of the First Amendment. For most of FBI history, agents were trained that part of the FBI's mission was to be a guarantor of the Bill of Rights. That has now been turned on its head. A renewed emphasis on the Constitution as a cornerstone of the Bureau's work is what is called for. When I was in training as a new agent, we were each given a pocket copy of the Constitution. We were told to keep it in our breast pocket, and that if we did that, when you would think about it when interviewing a citizen or when searching someone's home. If you kept it close to your heart, you wouldn't go wrong. For years, when explaining the FBI to various groups, I would always emphasize that unlike other countries, the United States was blessed to have, as its domestic security service, a law enforcement agency, an agency rooted in the rule of law. The United States now may be cursed to have a domestic intelligence agency with police powers. We may never get the Bureau back to the culture of a tell-the-truth law enforcement agency that I lived and loved in the pre-9/11 era, but the effort of reform is worth it, noble, and direly needed. I thank you all for your efforts.
All right, that was Agent, I believe his last name was Baker. And here, Joe, this is what we've been telling people, Wendy's, that, you know, there are still some good FBI agents out there. And I feel sorry for them. I had several friends that were FBI agents, and they loved their country. They loved their God and their country. They were very American. One thing that Obama did, you know, remember how I used to always go after Bill O'Reilly and say, O'Reilly, what is wrong with you? Bill O'Reilly used to always say, Obama is incompetent. He's not up to the job. He's just, he's got good intentions, but he's just incompetent. And I would say, no, he does not have good intentions. Obama is the enemy. He's not only an antichrist, but he's a communist to the bone. And every time he would appoint somebody new to a strategic place in government, didn't we say, do you see what he's doing now?
Exactly. He was taking out professionals in various fields and putting in political hacks and what you would call members of the transition team, really. They weren't bureaucrats. They were political activists.
He purged 11 four-star generals and replaced them with bootlickers, anti-American. Look what we got. We got Milley and Austin.
200 generals, admirals, colonels, all high-ranking field officers.
260 altogether. Yeah, and we were telling people every time he was doing this, do you see what he's doing? Do you see what he's doing? Do you see what he's doing? Well, he was doing that with the FBI. That's where we got Mueller and these people. It was all a part of a deep, dark swamp.
Here's a biggie that just verifies, and it's also something our listeners, we always try and give them something to do. The FBI teamed up with one of the U.S. major banks to spy on innocent Americans. Yep. The FBI attempted to sic its agents on innocent after a major banking corporation data mined its own customers, voluntarily gave the Bureau a list of these customers who made purchases in the Washington, D.C. area around January 6, 2021. And the FBI took this and started investigating. It was Bank of America. And I'll tell you what, if you have Bank of America, I would drop them like a hot potato. I would tell them that anybody that gave personal information to the FBI, here's how bad it got. They even went and clear back into the 90s. If you lived in, Oklahoma, and you bought a gun in Oklahoma in 1998, Bank of America gave that to the FBI if you were there in Washington. Even if you weren't there, if you were just in D.C. at the time, January 6th, that information was given to the FBI, and the FBI started investigating those people. So anybody that bought a shotgun, a .22, anywhere across for the past, up to, I guess, about 30 years, Bank of America opened up its archives, gave all that database information voluntarily, and the FBI used it to spy on you. And what they did, it was the D.C. office that is corrupt. It's the D.C. office that's running things to corruption. Then what they did, the D.C. office, quote, then pressured other field offices to open up cases against the innocent Americans. And the responses from many of those offices were, no, we're not going to open up cases based on a credit card or debit card activity that took place. And it said that one or more, according, this is to a person's deposition, Mr. Hill, who was a military veteran, former FBI and NSA analyst. I'm trying to find his first name. Anyway, it's Mr. Hill. George Hill is the agent, FBI, military veteran, NSA agent. And they said that one or more of the 54 local FBI field offices complied with the D.C. field office, their initial inquest to open investigations on innocent Americans, or later on, more started capitulating when the D.C. office escalated the request up the chain of command to the ASAC, and then the SAC, I'm not sure what the SAC is, I can't remember, I had one of those senior moments, but after D.C. started foreseeing getting worse and worse and worse, many of the local field offices finally started to comply, but at first, most of them said, no, we're not going to go along with D.C.
All right, insurrection. Most Americans say feds instigated January 6th. That's right.
Yes.
Huge majorities also shows all want surveillance videos released to the public. Now, of course, we saw that on Tucker Carlson tonight. He was showing this.
Started,
Tucker caught him in I don't know how many different lies tonight. But it was. But we knew that. I mean, we already, everything they said that Tucker had on there, we already knew, okay?
And we told people way back when,
Because we had all the people there that were there here on the program. Now, 61% of Americans in a new poll believe that FBI agents and government agencies worked to provoke the riot. 61% believes that they provoked that riot with the, and they worked with the Democratic leaders, and most all of the liberal media have labeled an insurrection. These are, so, you know, here it came out.
60% left are the left Democrats, but we saw, Pastor Ernie, clear back then, there were some pictures of police waving people to come on in, waving people to come in. We saw the Capitol Police opening the doors. Those doors were locked. They opened them and were, you know, waving people in, escorting them in. So we know the D.C. police. And then we saw films of people out there agitating, go in, go in, go in, turn this, you know. And we knew back then there was enough evidence, but the news put a, what do you call, a blackout on it, that some of it got out. We saw it, and we put all of it on the radio.
Absolutely. And it was an interesting thing because there's a video out there now. They tried to stop Tucker from doing that because they had put out the Democrats, what's his name, the one that's got that blue rag on his head, the one that's got cancer, I'm trying to, the congressman.
He wears that blue, yeah, I can't.
Ruskin, yeah, whatever. But they were saying that, Tucker would not be able that to show that because it was not legal to have that. So they were saying it wasn't going to go. They tried to put disinformation out.
The committee told them they couldn't do it. That doesn't make it illegal just because they said so.
Yeah, and so anyhow, they tried to make it appear that he wasn't able to do that, and then and so they made it sound like that was for real. And in fact, that's what I said that the other night. I said they're saying now that Tucker's not going to be able to show that. Okay, but now here. What you're seeing happening that with Josh Hawley, for example, from your state of Missouri, they're saying they showed up that so-called select where all the communists were gathered, where all those and every one of them there should be the ones that's in that dirty, filthy D.C. jail where the Christian patriots are at today. Okay, but anyhow, Josh Hawley was told to leave, and the guards. And they were talking, they were making fun, saying, look at that coward run before that committee. They showed this, but they had it up on a film. All the Democrats were making fun of Josh Hawley. Josh was actually the last one out. He wasn't in the first, and he was being brought out by the police. But now they showed also the shaman, the guy they called the shaman.
Yeah, with the buffalo head gear and the buffalo horns and the, yeah.
What they two cops escorted him personally, took him all the way in, made sure he got there. The whole thing was a setup. It was set up and
brought him all the way into the chamber just so they could photograph him.
Yep. And so all of this is going to be. Then you saw all these police. Now, not all of the D.C. cops were let in on got the memo, and some of them didn't understand what was happening, and so. They were really upset. I saw a video of a couple of them yelling, "We were set up." Okay, in other words, by the Democrats set them up too. So of course that's what they like. That's what they're good at, betrayal, aren't they?
Very so, good at betrayal. They don't care who they betray because remember their motto is, "The ends justify the means." No matter who gets hurt, no matter what law you have to break, what you know moral sin you have to commit. The end result justifies what you have to do to get there, period. That's the communist model.
All righty. You know what? We need to tell people something. The days that we're living in right now, I'll tell you what I've done. We're stocked up on food. I'm stocked up on ammunition. And you know what I'm stocked up on? Apothecary herbs.
some Wendy's, natural herbs and medicines, right?
That's right. Wendy's All Natural Medicines. The real thing, all natural medicines. You see, God gave us the natural herbs. The enemy gave us, well, you know, apothecary means natural herbs. Pharmakia means what? Wizardry, witchcraft, right?
Right.
And so, well, the enemy gave us Pfizer, didn't he?
They sure did. We got Pfizer and Moderna and all the rest of that garbage.
So, folks, if I were you, I would write this phone number down, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Do like I did. I've stocked up on Wendy's all-natural herbal medicines. But go to www.thepowerherbs.com. That's www.thepowerherbs.com. Now, I don't have Wendy's updated catalogs, but I have, we still have found a bunch of the older ones that we never mailed out, catalogs. And Wendy, your prices have changed, obviously.
Right. Actually, we're expecting our new catalog at the end of this month.
Okay.
So we're excited about it. Yeah. Yeah, we haven't really raised prices for 2 years. We've been holding the line, but it's gotten to the point where we have to bump them up a little bit. So there will be a price change, you know, probably hitting us around April, the first week of April. So we started our spring sale a little early so people can stock up on at the older price and get what they need. I mean, spring's a great time for organ cleansing to, you know, kind of, you know, spring clean the organs, as it were. And we have another sale, so it's 25% off. And details are on our website at thepowerherbs.com, but they can also call and ask about the sale.
All right. You know how on the back of the cover you always have these people that give a little testimony on your products?
All right.
Okay. Like here you had one right here from Parma, Ohio, Scott Ambler, in this book that I have. Great products. I've been taking them for years and wouldn't use anything else. Scott Ambler from Parma, Ohio. Here's one from Mountville, PA. All the products I have used are of high quality. The deal is they work. Charles Cloyte. And here's one. Billerica from Massachusetts. Your arthritis rub on my legs made me feel like $1 million. Thomas Sullivan's. Oh, okay. Thomas Sullivan from Billerica, Massachusetts. So here's what you do. I'll write you a really good one, but put mine on the inside of the front cover, and then Joe will write something, put him on the inside of the back cover.
Okay. I knew that was coming. I didn't know exactly what, Wendy, but I knew it was coming.
We'll get a picture in the mail right away, Wendy. Okay.
Well, don't want my picture that'll scare the customers off so fast that she'd be out of business in a week.
All righty.
Well, the thing is the catalog's gone to print, so you missed
it.
Yeah.
You're blessed. Just got your blessing, young lady.
We missed it again, huh? Okay. Oh, well, I got some good news. Here's some good news, and that is this. Huge city, largest abortion mill permanently closed. Southwestern Women's Center will permanently close after March 2nd. That's happened, according to the statement on its website. Southwestern Women's Center, that's a bloody, bloody abortion mill, stood as the largest bloody, bloody abortion mill in Dallas for 50 years. Since the reversal of Roe v. Wade last June, the facility ceased committing murders of babies and operated as an abortion travel agency. An abortion travel agency? Oh, sending pregnant women out of state. There you go.
Yeah, sending them to places like California where they welcome with, you know, they love the bloody hands. They welcome all.
Welcome. Evil, evil people, boy. There you go. You know, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
And see, here's what these women that go in there and kill their babies so nonchalantly, have no idea, okay, that that they're right then they're worthy to die. In other words, here they deserve. The Bible says they deserve to die. They deserve to die. Not just them. The bloody abortionists deserve to die. If I were king for today, those would be the first ones that would go right there. Do you know in the prisons, Wendy, do you know that they have the ground floor, the basement is called, is where the pedophiles are at, but there's a floor lower than that, and that's where the abortionists, when they put an abortionist in prison, and we helped to put a couple there, this ministry's helped to put a couple there, we had two, Golly and another, a Biscuit, I think it was, yeah, who I got a call one day.
A whole bunch of laws.
I had gotten a call from a woman, and she worked at their bloody abortion mill. And she told me, she said, I want a lawyer because, and she said, and I'm not going to tell you my name or anything until I'm meeting with a lawyer. I want absolute protection. And I says, okay, tell me your story. She worked there with him, and they were putting these girls under, putting them up in the stirrups, putting them under, then having sex with them. And they were having sex with these women before they killed their babies.
Ew.
That's pretty gory, isn't it? Well, that's the kind of people you have there. So anyhow, I put her in touch with a lawyer, and then she spilled her guts because she was afraid. She says, if they know that I'm talking to you, she says, they'll do to me what they do to the babies. And she was scared. She was really scared. So we got them put in prison. Anyhow, so there you go. I've seen some gory, gory things over the years out there. 45 years I was on the streets weekly preaching in front of those bloody abortion mills. Boy, did I see some horrendous, horrendous things.
That reminds me of when I worked at the hospital. There was a problem because at the hospital I worked with, the second floor was the surgical floor. You also had the step-down heart surgery area, and you also had ICUs on that floor. But anyway, you'd have like 12 surgery bays, and there would be like a collection area where people that were lined up for surgery would be pushed there. They've already gotten an injection in their room, you know, to make them all kind of relaxed and sleepy, and you know, some of them, you know, you count back from 10, they only got to 7, and they're out. So they wheel you into this holding area, okay? And while they get the OR ready and everybody's ready for you there. There was a problem. Some of these women were being raped while they were there.
Okay? Oh, yeah. I could say that's a problem, yeah.
Yeah, and well, they were, you know, they really couldn't really give any kind of, you know, testimony or account that law would take seriously because they were, you know, injected with anesthetics, you know. And so they really couldn't say who it was. You know, they just were all foggy about it. And it was a real problem that the hospital had. Well, they caught the guy. It was just a guy in scrubs that, you know, kind of, you know, takes bodies down to the morgue and just helps out around the place and, you know, wasn't a doctor or a nurse or anything. It was just an orderly. And so this is a problem. So whenever you have surgery, you want to stay in your room until they're ready for you in the OR and you go directly to the surgical bay. You don't get parked somewhere.
Well, you know, we did a story when we had in the nursing homes here some years ago where you had some nut was doing that to the elderly women in the nursing homes.
Right.
And that's the society we're living in today. I mean, we have a government. I could see how the Democrats would probably want to come up with some kind of funding to fund these people. Look what they're doing. Look what Biden's doing, bringing in all of these illegals, these girls. They were on the news. They had a 10-year-old girl talking about how many times she'd been raped. 10 years old, okay? And they said that 25% of the adult women, at least 25% of them that come across get raped at least once. But for the young girls, it's more like 40% of them get raped multiple times coming in.
That's really sick. I mean, you know, there's this book called Patriots Surviving the Coming Collapse. Wesley Rawls wrote the book, and he used to be one of those government operatives that would go into a country that, you know, maybe there was a coup, but their infrastructure was about to change. And he tells you what you can expect that will happen and how you can survive it. He was saying that, you know, in towns, when you don't have law and order, he says what fills the gap is, you know, usually gangs. They take over a town, and you can't leave, and you can't get in the town, so they control everything. And he was saying, I saw women, you know, sell their bodies for a can of Spam, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's starting to happen in our cities right now. The gangs are taking over. The Antifa and the gangs are running most of the big major Democrat cities. The cartels are running the border and, you know, the border states.
Oh, yeah. Again, and we told people, and Joe, we were the first ones back all the way back when Biden was vice president, and about the Biden crime cartel, we told people before he even got into the White House how he was working for the Chinese Communist Party. And his orders was to keep the gates open. Obama's order was to keep the southern gates open, to make sure that drug trafficking would come in. And this is all a part of the depopulation. Bring in the fentanyl. His job, Obama's job, was to keep the gate open, bring in the fentanyl, bring in the human smugglers, and to make sure there was a good supply of innocent children for the pedophile Democrats. That was Obama's job. And Obama's been doing that job.
Domestic
He's kept
workers, domestic workers, slaves, and, you know, sexual toys.
Yeah, a lot of the children that they're not using for sex, they're working in a number of these big companies.
Yeah, we found, there was a processing plant. They found 12, 13-year-old kids working 12 hours in a chicken-plucking processing plant.
Yep.
Already. So we know it's happening because they've rescued children from these places already this year.
It's really that, I mean...
Where is it allowed that a 12-year-old who's supposed to be in school can work 12 hours at a shift and then still try to go to school during the day? Come on. There's only 24 hours in a day, folks.
That's amazing.
Slavery, and it's happening right now in this country, and the media is crickets.
You know, Matt Gaetz wrote an article, and here's what he says. Lawmaker, key government agencies should be defunded, abolished if they do not heal. In other words, if they don't, you know, do their jobs according to the Constitution. But here, this is from the Daily Caller News, Harold Hutchinson. Republican Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida said Friday at the 2023 Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, that multiple government agencies should be defunded or abolished if they won't come to heel. In other words, if they won't do their job and work for the people. Perhaps the most important concession that we received during the fight was the establishment of a special group of legislators to analyze the weaponization of the government against our people, Gaetz said during a speech at the event, National Harbor, Maryland. Seems like every time I turn around, they're engaged in surveillance or list building or monitoring. I don't care if they take every second of our time and every ounce of our energy. We either get this government back on our side, or we defund and get rid of it. Abolish it. Abolish the FBI, the CDC, the ATF, the DOJ. Every last one of them, if they do not come to heel, gets added. The Select Subcommittee on Weaponization of the Federal Government held a hearing February 9th, during which the former Democrat Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, who claimed that the censorship by Google derailed her campaign, while Republican Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin testified before the subcommittee that FBI surveillance of Donald Trump's successful 2016 campaign and about information from whistleblowers in the agency. We got it. We either have to clean it up or we have to get rid of it. And, you know, both JFK and Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump all wanted to eliminate the CIA. We'll be back right after this.
He made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. The man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by the man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
All right, we're back. And you know, Joe, I was watching, they had two officers from the Air Force on interviewing them. It was, I'm trying to think of Brian Kilmeade. And he had on their program talking about going back to masculine ads for the military, for the Air Force to recruit. He wanted to recruit masculine men, okay? And
masculine men don't want to be anywhere near Millie's new military.
No, Millie and Austin drag queen. Those are drag queen right. Fellows. They promote, yeah. And so here, we were looking at our ads, the recruiting ads that they had made. And here, Russia's, if you looked at Russia's, I mean, it was like one of those, you know, it was a real strong military, you know, ad. I mean, it showed you these guys being special, you know, superhero type fellas. And the same thing with China. Two really good ads that you would want. Then it showed ours. They had a lesbian, a black lesbian woman, okay? And, of course, she was talking about how nice it is to be, you know, the transgender type thing and stuff. That was our ads, okay? And they don't understand why the Air Force is down about 30%. The Army's down way. They can't get people to join. So they've dropped the standards way down. I mean, they've dropped them way down to try to get people to join.
You can smoke pot. You can have all kinds of things, even the mental limits, you know, IQ limits were dropped.
Well, here now, Biden official, natural immunity is not something we believe in, all right? This is by Ben Johnson from the Daily Signal. A Biden regime official told Congress that natural immunity is not something we believe in for members of the U.S. military who have had COVID, just after a British study showed that prior infection protects people much, much better than vaccination. Well, the vaccination kills them, right? The armed forces will instead continue to push service members to take the poisonous poke and boosters. The military undersecretary and chief diversity officer, boy, that's really something, okay, announced before denying an inspector general's report that the officials reviewed Christians' request for religious exemptions only 12 minutes before dismissing them. We don't know that natural immunity is there as far as how it works and how effective it is. Well, you know what? All of the science makes it very, very clear. Wendy, do you want to talk about that natural immunity?
Talk about natural immunity. Yeah, I mean, your immune system is one of your best allies for protecting you from disease, and it has the ability to learn. Talk about artificial intelligence. I mean, your immune system has the ability to store antibodies and then adapt them for new versions of viruses and bacteria. That's how sophisticated it is.
You know, I would like to get this diversity officer and Austin and Millie in a room and lock the doors where they couldn't get out. And I would like to tell them, now, I want you to think, because this is going to be really deep for you guys, really, really deep for you, okay? Now, even a study by the Cleveland Clinic out here, who keeps pushing the poisonous poke, but they did a study a couple months ago, and they came out and they said that those that have gotten the poisonous poke, gotten the shots, are four times more likely to get COVID. Now, see, so I would tell Millie and Austin, I would say, listen, now think on this. This is deep for you. If you're four times more likely to get COVID if you've had the shot than you are if you haven't had the shot, and it's something like natural immunity is something like eight times, okay, if you've had the COVID and you have natural immunity, that you're like eight times, I believe what they said, more likely to get COVID if you take the shot than if those that have natural immunity and didn't take the shot. Mm-hmm. Or those that had COVID, right? And again, had natural immunity. So do you think that those guys could possibly do the math on that?
Well, I mean, it's just really upsetting. People, you know, in the end, are catching on, and they've tried to change the definition of what, you know, a vaccine is and isn't and all these things. So they're just their own worst enemy. People just don't trust the science anymore.
Because it's not science at all. And
well, here's something I wanted to bring up back when. There's an organization out there called Biden Cash, and it's a criminal site, and they're using it mocking the government, and they have leaked 2 million stolen credit cards, debit cards out there. And it's the one-year celebration of its operating its illegal marketplace that trades in stolen data, financial credentials like credit cards, and it's advertising this massive leak on an underground cybercrime forum. And the operators of this Biden Cash have caused harm to millions of victims whose personal and financial information compromised. It's a long article. That's all you need to know, because here's the backup story. The IRS is stymied by old equipment, workers who don't know how to run it. So here we have the Internal Revenue Service using ancient equipment, systems that are having difficulty finding employees who can use the systems, operate the systems, according to the GAO official government report. And it goes on, if you start getting into the weeds, you find that the computer systems in the FBI, that all these different government agencies, are old, aren't functioning well, and lack resources. So in other words, they put their money into everything but updating equipment in the government that's essential to functioning. We even have older computers in the Department of Defense, older computer systems all through, you know, different areas of the government, military. And I put these two together and I thought, okay, here we have, you know, like you were talking, Pastor Ernie, this lesbian, you know, telling how great the military is. We have the FBI, you know, going after pastors praying at abortion clinics. We have the Justice Department, the FBI, going after parents complaining when their children have porn shoved in their face. And yet here we have an agency, a group who have been out there for a year dealing in corruption, crime, ripping people off. And now they're so bold, they're giving out over 2 million stolen credit card, debit cards to anybody that wants to use it for nefarious purposes. And then we wonder why you said we don't trust our government? I wonder why.
Well, I heard recently that Trudeau in Canada, you know, is pushing for that, you know, I guess it's called the ventricular card for all the citizens, you know, the ID, the personal ID.
He wants it
connected to, you know, healthcare and banking and everything else.
You mean so, like the Chinese Communist Social Credit Score system, right?
Right. Well, think about it. You get rid of the credit score. It's a social score. That's what they call it over in China, because everything about your life is analyzed. And if you come up with a score, and if you're falling below what the government wants it to be, then you're penalized in some way. Now, it's all about, you know, being vital and contributory towards, you know, your community. Think about it. Think about it when you're retired and you're not really, you know, active in the community like you once were. Your social score is going to plummet. And so what does that mean for people? So you've got this trust score that Bill Gates has come up with. It's what he's calling it. You know, it's going to be anything but trustworthy.
Yeah, the minute you said Bill Gates, I had to laugh. Trust and Bill Gates don't go together at all. They're like an oxymoron.
Yeah, he's got the platform, the software already to link healthcare records and banking to this whatever card they come up with. So.
Hey, Wendy, headlines. This goes with what you're saying. Biden authorizes Fed to explore digital currency. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Executive orders, you know, he's been, this is an article from the Gatestone Institute, that one of the things that the Biden and his administration is trying to set up a digital currency, and the executive order allows the Federal Reserve System to explore possibility of introducing digital currency into the United States That means your cash will become colored paper worthless, and you tie the digital currency into what you're just saying, you have complete control over the citizen, don't you?
Well, here's, but people need to understand, because of the quantum computers and the big data systems that they have, it's much more manageable and controllable now. They've been working on it for, 50 years. So what you have is, let's say you're diabetic, you want to go to the drive-thru, or you want to pick up something at the ABC store. Now, remember, this is going to be a programmable interface. So, I mean, your healthcare record says your diabetes, and so they're not going to allow you to make purchases at certain places because of your health profile.
Oh,
you don't have that.
Yeah.
You don't have that purchasing decision making anymore. Your privacy in what you buy is no more with the digital programmable financing system.
Well,
yeah, if they have it, also digital financing means if the government wants to stop your, let's say, your veterans' benefits or your Social Security check, all they have to do is just switch. It's not like going in manually. They can even, through the bank,
shut off the bank account,
couldn't they?
Yeah, they just shut it off. See, remember, your social score, your trust score, is got to be, benefiting the whole of society. And we've heard complaints from China. People say, if your dog barks all night keeping the neighbors up, your social score goes into the toilet.
Right. And means you might not
like
get
that.
A job, a loan, not be able to travel, all kinds of things, right?
It's very interwoven, and it's going to be a government agency that determines, what these scores mean. So your whole life gets a value associated with it, according to what bureaucracy
wants. Remember that guy that transsexual they hired for the disposal of government waste that was bald-headed, dressed like a woman, stole woman's clothing at the airport? I could just see them putting somebody like that in charge of this information, and I just almost passed out.
Yeah, that's exactly what Biden would do.
Exactly. That's what's scary about it. He's already done really crazy things like that, right?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, can you imagine if somebody was in charge of that and you call up and you want to know what's wrong with your social score or your trust score, and they say, well, Pastor Larson, you have to get in touch with your feminine side. And then we'll talk.
Then we'll
talk.
So,
I mean, it can get really bizarre.
Yeah. Don't ever do it, Joe.
People be warned. We're telling them what is. If the people don't stand up and start saying the word, and no, we're not going to put up with this stuff. This is what's going to happen. The people have to realize we're stronger than they are. There's more of us than there are of them. And if we defiantly come together and say no, we can turn it around with the Lord's
help. They just don't think it'll be used as a weapon against them. They think the technology will be convenient.
Oh, yeah.
All righty, listen. We're at that time here. So at the time we get to every night, the most important part of this radio program. Now, Joe, if you could get all of the Democrats in Congress and all of those people and lock them in a room where they couldn't get out and you had the mic, what would you say to them?
I'd say that what they're doing is they are paving themselves a one-way road into hell, and unless they repent of what they are doing, their many multiple sins, they are going to hell in the fast lane.
Right. So would you say, look, you'll never be able to say when you stand before the Lord on that judgment day that nobody told you. Right now, the Word of God is telling you to repent or perish. We're telling you right now. You'll never be able to say that nobody told you that, because a lot of them on that day when they stand before the Lord, what are you going to hear? Well, I didn't know. Nobody told me, right?
So, I'm not going to fly, right?
Absolutely. And so I would tell him, look, the Word of God does not stutter. Bible's pretty clear. It's appointed all men once to die, once, and then the judgment. And when you die, there are absolutes. And here is one of those absolutes. When you die, you will either end up in heaven or hell. That's an absolute. And so we're telling you, if you died today in your sin, you would spend eternity in hell. And hell is not a good place, is it?
No, not any place I want to go.
And so here are the realities you have in this world today. It's just, it's an amazing thing how people have become so reprobate that they don't know right from wrong anymore in our society. Now, again, we don't hate the enemies. If we hated them, we would encourage them to continue doing what they're doing, huh?
That would be a good definition of hate, yeah. Hate them enough that we would want them to spend eternity in hell, that would be very, very hateful.
And for those that say, well, I personally, I don't believe in hell, what would you tell them?
Well, we've got more people believe in that they're going to go to heaven than believe there is a God, so I tell them that, you know, that you will one place or the other. No one in heaven or hell denies there is a God.
So they're all believers. You're going to be a believer.
Believers, one way or the other.
Whether you're going to do it in glory or you're going to do it in torment, huh?
Amen.
And so this is what we're telling the folks out there listening tonight. I want to praise the good Lord for it, because I know we have a lot of saved people listening to us tonight, because I get letters from them. I mean, and a lot of letters, and they're the saints. These are the folks that someday I'll meet face-to-face when we get to glory. But there are others that listen. There are others. Every now and then you'll hear one of the seminar callers call in, and they're angry. They get angry when, in fact, I had a guy tell me, I listen to your program every night until you start talking about getting saved.
The invitation.
Yeah. And I told him, well, that's the one part you really should be listening to. And so, folks out there, I'll just make it very short for you because we're running out of time. God's Word in the Bible is very clear. The Lord Jesus made it very clear that it's not God's will that any should perish, that any should come short of the glory. He gave you a way out. He made it. He did all the lifting for you. But you need to, one, repent, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sins, and then ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, completely, without any reservations, and God will honor that commitment, and you'll miss the lake of fire. But right now, we're out of time. So as we get to this point every night, how many seconds do we have? Okay. Good night. God bless. And always, always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.